Nice to see so many of you out on this nice warm day. At least it's warm in here. So this is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and as you see in your insert, it is the fourth candle that is lit, and that is the candle of love. And even for verses to remind us of that, we actually have John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall have eternal life. God did not send His Son to condemn the world, but rather to save the world. That is a very powerful part of Scripture. And so we put this in there so you guys just don't go through tradition and light candles and not know what they mean. Each one has a significance, and so it's good to remember that. Anyways, for our fourth Sunday in Advent, we are going to read from Matthew. It is a calendar text. We're going to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. If you are willing and able, please rise for the reading of the Gospel text. Matthew, chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, reading through 25, continuing in Jesus' name. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When His mother, Mary, espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is your word. Father, we hear this text, it seems like, so many times through the Christmas season, and we oftentimes have a tendency to take it just at its face value, but you have so much to teach us in and through this text. We pray that you would allow your spirit to speak, the men in flesh to be silent, and you would be glorified. We ask that you would sanctify us in your truth, because we know, Father, your word is truth. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. When you look at this text and you hear it, it seems like this is a great part of the Christmas story. And oftentimes we have a tendency to just want to look at it in a certain direction. But today, if the Lord would so allow, I'd like to look at it even from a different direction. I think this text can really speak to us about living our lives here upon earth. In other words, I believe very strongly that the gospel is not just a historical text, but it is a living word that can impact us at many different seasons of our life. And all parts of the scripture can be used for correction and can be used for encouragement. And sometimes we make those kind of statements, but I don't know if we quite grasp that. What that means is every part of scripture can impact us in some way. It's warm in here, isn't it? So I want to look at this text more from the aspect of not just the miracle of the announcement, but I want to look at it that I think it could impact us as married couples. That it could really open up a door to us dealing with other people, whether you're married or not married. It deals with the understanding of trust. And I want us to also look at it from the very strong standpoint of trusting God. We have a very quick statement within our movement. We can find it from the most conservative of our churches to the most open-minded, if I want to say it that way, of our churches. I don't like the word liberal. It makes it sound like we're fruitcakes. But the fact of it is, we have a tendency to say, God's will be done. God's will be done. Well, Pastor, you have a good day, if God so wills. Pastor, safe travels when you go downstate. I will, if God so wills. Or, I really pray that this works in your life. I pray that this is an improvement for you, this new job, or whatever it may be. I do too, if it's God's will. But the understanding of what does it mean when we say God's will? Really, the very plain term of this, if God wants. If God wants this for us. We turn around in our life and we make statements like, God's will be done, but can we accept His will? This is a very interesting scenario that's laid out before us. We've brought a lot of romance to it, no doubt about it, a lot of mystery with it because of the Christmas season. But I want you to take it for a moment at face value. There's this very traditional, conservative couple. They're contracted to be married. They live in a very conservative world. They live in a very conservative understanding in the community that you do not do certain things, you don't broach certain subjects, you don't touch somebody before you are married. They live by honor. Joseph lives as an honorable man. Mary would be an honorable woman. Living in a small community where everybody knows everything about you. In this day and age, it's sad to say, it doesn't really matter who you hook up with anymore. It seems like it's just a thing to do. Please take yourself out of that mindset or even the acceptance of tradition and culture that we're in and go back into their time. Go back into their time where literally a woman that was caught monkeying around would be stoned to death, killed by rocks. So it puts us in a different understanding of how serious this account is. Matthew shares with us, he says, this is exactly how the birth of Christ took place. When his mother Mary was actually contracted or engaged to Joseph, before they actually came together as husband and wife, there was a little bit of a thing going on here. I was told a long time ago, you can't say the word pregnant in the pulpit, so I won't say it. But she was with child. I didn't realize back in like the 50s, pregnant was a really bad word. I have a lot of elders that have shared that with me. You didn't say that. You said with child. Or she was in a delicate way. See? Tradition. But anyways, she was found with child. But yet, the instruction and the understanding is given to us by Matthew that this was a work of God. A young teen girl engaged to another. Very seriously, when they took engagement, it was a contract. So this would be, I would say very strongly, as our understanding of marriage in our day. It was a done deal. They were just waiting for the ceremony or whatever else would be come together. But it was an agreement between two families that this would take place, and it was a done deal. So she was found with child. And it's an interesting thing because we're rushed right into this in verse 19. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her in reality quietly, behind the scenes, without anybody knowing. We rush when we read this because one of the first things that should come to mind is, how does he know? We don't often think about that, but how does he know? Did she tell him? Was the rumor mill flying? Was she starting to show? Is this after she saw Elizabeth and she could no longer hide it and contain it? But the fact of it is that now Joseph has an understanding that the one that he is to marry, at least in the human understanding and the way things naturally work in this world, is not pure. Why do I say that? Because she's with child. We know the rest of the story. It's hard for us to separate ourselves from that, but put yourself in Joseph's position at this moment. He doesn't understand how exactly this took place. He understands the basic science that they understood at the time of how someone becomes pregnant, so it wasn't far for him to probably wonder, how did this take place? Who was she with? This is interesting. But before we go too far into Joseph, I think we need to understand Mary's state of mind. Mary, very straightforwardly, especially if we look like in the Gospel of Luke, we see a good description when the angel Gabriel comes and speaks with her. She hears the angel out. And she hears what the angel has to say. And the angel tells her, the Holy Spirit's going to come over you, and you're going to become with child, and you're going to carry the Lord. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being a teen girl encountering God's messenger, and he tells you something as profound and powerful as this? And she even turns around in that account and says, well, how can this even be? So it's not hard to separate yourself from Joseph when Mary herself says, how can this be? I've never been with a man. And the angel Gabriel says, the Holy Spirit will come over you, and the seed that you will carry will be of the Spirit. Does she argue? She doesn't. So first and foremost, we need to look at it from Mary's side, where she trusted. The will of God for her was to carry a child that probably, I would say, 99% of the people in her time and day and age would never imagine could happen, a child conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she says, behold, I will be the servant of the Lord. That's trust. She doesn't consider what family will think. She doesn't consider, in reality, what community thinks. She doesn't consider all the rhetoric that she might have to go through in her lifetime. She is willing to do her part, what the Lord calls her to do. She trusts in His will. She doesn't even seem to have an argument there about the aspect of, what about Joseph? And I know I'm reading into this, and I know I'm assuming this, but human beings are very good at reading into things and assuming. But you've got to imagine that she believed God had a plan even for Joseph. God had a plan for all of this. We don't think of these things very often, because we look at it as just a cute Christmas story. But this is a story about trust. This is an account about trusting God's will and His plan in our lives. And Mary trusted so deeply. Though she couldn't understand the science of it, when it was explained to her, she believed. Though she might have realized the circumstances living in a fallen human world, what might take place in her life, or who might reject her, or who might have difficulty against her, she said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. She trusted in the will of God. Scripture is very powerful about speaking about Mary. She was chosen, highly favored. Lutherans have a tendency to bash Mary because we feel other denominations have put too much emphasis upon her, and that's wrong. Scripture itself says she's highly favored. It's not a light title. And you can see examples of her faith when she believes what the angel Gabriel says to her. And she is encouraged. And now we face Joseph now. And I have to wonder in my own mind, and it's probably not good practice to, but did he speak to her about this? Was it told to him? Well, the angel of the Lord came and spoke to me and told me I would be with child. And I have not monkeyed around with anybody. That's not how it took place. I know it's strong words for the Christmas story, right? But boy, we don't mind saying strong things outside of the church walls, do we? But you wonder, because Joseph knew. Doesn't seem that the angel of the Lord came and told him before and then decided to tell him how it happened. He knew. But yet he was a man of faith too. And he was a man that was willing to consider the circumstances around them. And that is one of the greatest traits that a human being can have, is to be willing to listen. To be willing to put the best construction on our neighbors around us. To be willing not to just cast somebody away like they have no value. He was in a difficult situation, living in a very conservative time, dealing with a huge problem. And it says, Now, he, being a just man, a godly individual, was not willing to put her to shame. He wasn't going to let her down. It seems that even in these words, you could find that he has care for her, that he has character in himself, that he has a faith towards God, that he's not willing to rush out and destroy somebody's life. Considered. And that's exactly what the next verse will tell us. But he resolved to divorce her, to break this contract quietly. This was a conflict for him. It was not easy. See, and too many times in our life when we start dealing with human beings and the messiness of their life, we have a tendency to write them off or to think that they're not valuable. Or even in the aspect of, say, like in divorce in our day and age, we have a tendency to think people just too willy-nilly do it. Oh, it's not working out, I'm done. It's not the truth. I don't think it comes easy to hardly anybody. I can't put a blanket statement and say for everybody, because I don't know. But I've performed quite a few marriages already as a young pastor, and I yet have seen anybody step to this altar rail, making a covenant to God and before God and with another individual thinking that they're going to break it. It's not an easy thing. And we may miss the point when we understand the seriousness of the engagement, the contract between two families, but Joseph also, he understood this was difficult. He understood that this was a circumstance that could be not answered by human reason, but yet he still struggled. As I believe each and every individual that goes through this process in our day and age still struggles, where we ought to find grace and mercy for these individuals and encourage them and help them in any way that we can. This message about trust is about trust in God, first and foremost. But this message here speaks very boldly about trust within a marriage. Because Joseph loved her. He shows it with his actions. He was not willing. He considered. He took his time. Mary, she trusted. And this is really what we need to look at now. He says that he was not willing to put her away. But as he considered these things, and this is something that I want you to think about. You could say he prayed on them, he pondered them, he thought about it. This wasn't just an easy act. Too many times in human beings' lives we think, oh, that person just got sick of him and said, the heck with that, we're done with this. We don't know what we're talking about. We don't. How can we speak for another individual? How can we speak as though we know what they're thinking? To be 100% honest with you, you don't even know what you're thinking sometimes. But yet, all of a sudden, we can assume, we can think for somebody else. Joseph, hearing this news, dealing in the conservative time that he's in, he considered still. These things. Thought about it. Prayed about it. And it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And this is the trust, I believe, on Mary's part. Understanding that God will take care of this. God will see this through. He appeared to him. He says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Do not. Do not be afraid. Why would you be afraid? Because we think too earthly. We think about other people. We think about what else is going on around us. We think about what others are going to think of us. But he says, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Because that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It is of God. It is of God. She will bear a son. And you will call his name Jesus. For he will actually save the people from their sins. He is the gift to the world. He is the gift. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet Isaiah a long time ago. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is how he will be known. People have a tendency to say, well, wait a minute here. His name is Jesus, but then it says he'll be called Emmanuel. Well, that's how he is known. That's who he is. That's his encompassing side. God present with us. Oh, Pastor, that doesn't make any sense. Really? It doesn't make any sense. If I tell you that I knew a guy and his name was George Ruth, who is he? Not a lot of people would know. Some of you that are more sports fans would know who he is. He's Babe Ruth. Bringing Babe Ruth into the conversation, you understand he's one of the greatest hitters that could be. You have a full understanding of who he is as a person. And that's what this speaks about. It speaks about the aspect of who he is, God present with us. He came into this world to join the race. He came in reality to take upon himself the sin and the pain of the race. And he took that and he nailed it to the cross for each and every one of us. And this brings us fully back to the understanding of trust in God's will. It was God's desire and God's will to save each and every one of us from our own sinfulness. It is not about the conditions we've been raised in. It's not about the mistakes that we've made or the mistakes that we haven't made. It's not about how we can hold ourselves above somebody else because we haven't done this or that. It is not about any of that stuff. It is about the fact that God loved us so much that he gave us his only begotten Son. And this is the message that we need to proclaim. And this is the message we need to have with one another. And this is the message that we need to understand for trusting in God. If God be for us, isn't that what Paul says? Then who can be against us? Then why do we get caught up in the details? Joseph, stop thinking about what everybody else is thinking. Stop thinking about what the world tells you. Stop thinking about all this. Because this is God's plan. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. And you know what? I'm going to screw it up on many different levels. And oftentimes, as a human being, I'm going to listen to the rhetoric around me. But it doesn't change the will of God. And it doesn't change his plan. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know the difficulty you've gone through in your life. I'm not even going to pretend to know. Because I can barely grasp what I've been through in my life. But the one thing I can tell you is there is a God that is above and beyond all these circumstances. That has given his Son in your behalf. He doesn't look at the successes of your marriage or the failures of your marriage, the successes of raising your children or the failures in raising your children. He doesn't look at the success of your business or the failure of your business. He doesn't look at the success of your walk according to human terms or anything else. Do you trust him? Do you trust his word? And do you trust his promises? Joseph, don't be afraid. I believe he trusted Mary very strongly. But yet this was such a struggle that it started to really eat away at the foundation. How could it not be? Think about it. Your wife comes home and she's pregnant. And she tells you, oh, well, I haven't been doing a thing. And you know you haven't done it. That's how serious this is. But yet he wasn't just willing to discard her. He pondered. He was a man of integrity. This is what Isaiah was speaking about. That this would be that child. And it says, when Joseph woke up, what did he do? Exactly what the angel said. Why? Because he trusted. He trusted God. He took her as his wife, but yet he did not know her. And that means intimately. Until she gave birth to her son. And they called him Jesus. I'll tell you. Trusting God is a great beginning for a marriage. It truly is. And that will lead you in reality for deep trust with one another. But also we need to remember, in marriage, successful, difficult, failed, whatever else it may be, there needs to be forgiveness. And if there's ever a season for forgiveness, it's now. It's a beautiful Christmas season. It's a season that we get so overjoyed with about great gifts and different things like that. But the greatest gift that we ever received in our entire life
is forgiveness. Forgiveness by the atoning work of Jesus Christ in His finished work. And if there's ever a time to offer forgiveness, it's now. So I pray for each and every married couple that you would offer forgiveness one to another and that you would encourage each other, that you would trust in marriage and you would trust in God's will. And honestly, if you come from a disastrous background, I want you to trust that God, He forgives all that too. Oh, I'm not divorced. But I should be. I should be. But my wife has a gift of forgiveness, and I also have a gift of forgiveness that's given by God also. So I can't think of myself more highly than anybody else. They ask about the aspect of divorce. Well, why did Moses give the bill of divorce? Jesus says very plainly, He said, in the beginning it was never meant to be. But because of the hardness of your hearts, He suffered it to be so. Sin was never meant to be. But because of the hardness of our hearts in the Garden of Eden, we did not listen. We desired to do what we wanted to do and live to ourselves. And here we are. People say, well, then you're giving license for divorce. No, I think there's proper places for divorce. I truly do. Sad, but I do. If I was an adulterous man, I don't expect my wife to stay with me. If I was an abusive man, I don't expect her to stay with me. I think those things could be overcome, but it takes a lot of work. But the one thing I don't want anybody to ever think about is that there's no grace for it. There is. And it's not making it easy. I do not believe anybody wanted this. Trust. Trust one another. And above and beyond all that, trust Jesus Christ in His forgiveness for you. God has a plan. Why do I talk about this? I'll take 2 more minutes of your time. I didn't mean to go in this direction today, but I often think that this is something that we tell the world. There are churches within our group that pride themselves on the aspect of not marrying anybody that's been divorced. And I've married many people that have been. Because I had to ask myself, if someone came here as a married or divorced individual and remarried, would I accept them as members? Absolutely. But I accept them as community members. Absolutely. Why? Because of the grace of God. Well, if I can accept that, am I saying, in reality, I'll take them after somebody else does the dirty work? That's what a lot of our churches say, and that's stupid. When someone can show me where it's the unforgivable sin, then I guess I'll repent. But right now, I believe we need to encourage, strengthen, trust in the will of God, trust in His plan, and encourage those that are going through difficult times. Joseph, he was not willing to write her off. God spoke. And he trusted. Mary heard the most amazing news she could ever hear that no one probably would believe. But she trusted. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. There is forgiveness for you. No matter what. Because there is forgiveness for me. In Jesus' name.